I would like to acknowledge the Kaurna people who are the traditional custodians of the land here. I would also like to pay my respects to elders past and present of Kaurna country.
It's amazing how you can speak right.
You are listening to Expanding Horizons, the podcast of the Unitarian Church of South Australia, a home of progressive spirituality and free religious thought and action since 1854. Views expressed in these podcasts are those of the speaker and are not intended to represent the position of the church itself or of the worldwide Unitarian Universalist movement. For more information, visit unitariansa.org.au.
These are words by Loy Gorgas Laban. We light our chalice flame for those who have lived their lives in closets of shame, for those who furtively visited the bars when nobody knew your name, for the Stonewall Riot and the fierce trans women who fought, for the plague which still takes far too many too young, too soon. So many gone, so many never lived to see. Out gay kids singing on TV, out gay people serving in the military. Marriage equality, families formed by intention. We light our chalice flame for all these and for all our siblings of the rainbow, surviving, living life out in the open with pride. Good morning and welcome to our service of worship. This is a service because it means to serve you. And this is worship from the meaning of worthship, because it serves you by raising to worth things that matter. My name is Aaron Pose, a member of this congregation, and I am co-leading the service today with Miranda, who is behind me. I welcome you here on behalf of the generations of Unitarians who have worshipped in similar gatherings in South Australia since 1854. We are a spiritual community that encourages and supports all who come to find, to fashion, and most importantly, to follow their own spiritual path. Any path that helps you see more clearly, love more abundantly, and work toward a better world for all. We welcome you to join with us after the service for coffee, tea, and conversation.
Today's story is a story about a boy who has something special and a bit different about him, and he's worried that perhaps if other people knew, they might tease him. So this story is called Perfectly Norman. Norman had always been normal, perfectly normal, until one day he grew a pair of wings. Norman had imagined growing taller or growing a beard like his dad, but he had never imagined growing a pair of wings. Still, they were here now, so he decided to test them out right away. Soon, Norman was swooping around and generally having the most fun ever. But then he had to go in for his dinner. You see, Norman had always been so normal, he didn't know how his parents would feel about his extraordinary wings. As he went in, Norman covered himself up in a great big coat. His parents didn't notice the wings, but they did think it was odd to be wearing a coat indoors. Bath time was problematic. So was bedtime. The coat was hot and uncomfortable, but Norman had decided that no one should see his wings, ever. The next day, Norman went to the park, but he was far too hot to play any of his favourite games. And so it went on. Long car journeys were unbearable. The swimming pool was dreadful. And that was nothing compared to his friend's birthday party. The only time that Norman could feel normal now was when it rained. One day, a boy tried to pull his coat off, and Norman had to run away, hot-faced, angry, and sad. He wished he'd never grown those stupid wings. Then he saw some birds high up in the sky and remembered the joy of his first flight. It occurred to Norman that it was the coat that was making him miserable, not the wings. "Why don't you take that tatty old thing off?" suggested his mum and dad. Norman looked up at them hesitantly. His parents smiled and nodded. Norman smiled back. Then he threw off the coat and let his wonderful wings fan out. Norman leapt into the air. Finally, he was free of that coat. He noticed a few other children wearing thick, heavy coats of their own. They looked up at Norman and round at each other nervously. There was a moment's pause, and then, whoosh! The sky was filled with flying people. Norman had never felt so happy. He realized that there was no such thing as perfectly normal, but he was perfectly Norman, which was just as it should be.
It is our tradition to share the significant events of our spiritual lives in an open forum of fellowship. I invite you now to deepen and to bind that fellowship and covenant with one another by sharing with us any recent event that has been significant in your spiritual life. And to mark that sharing by lighting a candle from our chalice from here and telling us as briefly as possible about it. As some things lie too deep for words, you're also very welcome to light a candle in silence. If you choose not to share, you can still take part in widening this circle of compassion by listening with an open heart and mind and refraining from comments. I open our worship space for this sacred act that draws us together in our shared humanity. This final candle represents all those things we choose not to share that remain silent in our hearts. May all the things we have shared be honoured by this beloved community. Find a comfortable position for you. I ask humbly for you to hang up now the things to do, what you may do after church, whatever daily or urgent feeling matters you wish to attend to. Hang them up just for now. Your attention will return to them in time. Here you are. Here are you. You are. You. I am that I am. Let your focus fall upon your breathing. Let your breathing flow in and out without hurry. Keep the mind upon the breathing as it distracts with new thought. Thank it. Put the thought aside for later and return mind's focus back to the breathing. The air rushing through the nose. The gentle rise and fall of the diaphragm. In and out. In and out. As your mind remains on the breathing, in and out, allow that part of you which is not mind to fill you. Let you be you. Let you be. In being, existence comes forth. Let existence be.
I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair.
coming out refers to coming out of a closet. That is, in my case, revealing that I am gay from a space inside of me. The closet, though, is a concept some of you may not relate to well. After all, if you haven't been there, haven't had the direct experience, how do you know how it feels? The closet is not quite like Narnia, but it is a secret space hidden in plain sight, a gateway into another world, yours, your internal world. And it is bigger on the inside, like Narnia or the TARDIS. Our inner selves are as great as all that outside of ourselves. However, the closet is also a prison, self-imposed in order to feel and be safe. Others cannot see the you inside. They only see the you projected outside, like the facade of a building, so there can be a facade of the persona. It's a safe, choking, restrictive barrier between your world and the wider world, a place of comfort and insanity. Though I speak of the gay closet, which is a familiar story even to non-gay people now, there are many, many more closets than the gay closet. Transgender people also experience a closet. People with disabilities and illnesses can experience a closet, especially if the disability or illness is invisible. Cancer, chronic fatigue syndrome, depression are all simple examples. There are so, so many more. In fact, anything that is not very visible and socially rejected or uncomfortable can be experienced as a closet. The person so closeted has decided that the risk or unpleasantness of revealing their truth publicly is too high and so veils it from the world, often even to close friends and family. In my case, even from my wife. Coming out of the closet is, of course, the opposite, where you, with considerable bravery, grab hold of that risk and reveal to the outside world your truth. Coming out brings the acceleration of freedom of expression and, in some cases, dire risks of harm. It brings great visibility. It is the opening of a flower. Perhaps not to your type of flower, but the flower remains beautiful as part of the interconnected web of all existence. The seventh principle, respect for the interdependent web of all existence of which we are part. In the gay world, coming out is almost a rite of passage. So many of us have needed to do it. It has empowered us because by so widely revealing ourselves, we have become collectively more visible. With that visibility has come the breaking of silly old ideas about gays and what gay means. And so a greater understanding of gay experience has emerged for gay and non-gay people alike. So too has coming out of those other closets improved visibility, understanding and acceptance. Certainly it's not yet enough, but today transgender people, people with cancer, depression or chronic fatigue syndrome, are all better understood, better accepted and silly ideas about those experiences have become harder to sustain in the public eye. My coming out experience was quite rough and freeing. It became quite abrupt because I told my wife at the first stage, and she shared it quite widely. My entire friend network evaporated like a mirage. I had one acquaintance left, ironically, because he was gay in the closet himself. My family were not supportive, and the whole thing triggered a major depressive episode. I'm very, very fortunate to have survived. It did, however, reboot my life into something far more compatible with me. In losing those friends, I understood much better what friendship was and was free to connect to new people who were more compatible and less self-interested. In freeing myself, I could pursue sexual and relationship connections on my own terms. Another issue with coming out as gay or with cancer or any other closet is you have to do it in and again and again and again and again. It isn't a one-shot thing. You have to face, every time you do it, the possibility of rejection or hostility and all those reactions that people give. Got a new job? When you come out, new friends, long lost really, old school friend you bumped into, will you come out? Will you tell them? Again and again, it's a decision to make, and for some this is joyous, but more often it's just tiresome. So could there be a better way than bang the door out, open we come? Well, maybe.
Indeed, there is. Today I want to highlight two concepts. Firstly, that of personally inviting in, and then, more generally, of creating a climate of welcome. So, what is the concept of inviting in? Basically, it's an update to language that also represents a shift in thinking. The historical focus on coming out meant that people who chose to do so gave others an opportunity to reject them. The choice and power laid with the audience rather than the speaker. Coming out had almost a confessional aspect, soliciting judgment in a way which those who weren't in minorities need never contemplate. For those of us in a position of majority privilege, can you imagine summoning the courage to sit down at the dinner table and finally announce, "Mum, Dad, I'm straight!" Coming out also placed members of the LGBTQ community in an awkward position, where not coming out might have been seen as weak or dishonest. By contrast, the contemporary concept of inviting in centres on our choice as individuals to invite those we desire to enter our life. It allows the speaker to maintain the power. And I can give you a personal example here related to kind of a closet, that of being a carer. Most people I meet don't know I'm a carer unless I tell them. And I'm wary of how people might judge me. So how I discuss being a carer varies. I might mention in a low-key way that I don't work because I'm a carer. And the reason I'm wary of saying that is because some people might think I'm only a carer because Centrelink pays me so much money for doing that. I might explain that I can't go to a particular event because I'm a carer. For people I know a little better, I might say, such and such an event sounds fun, but it will be difficult for me to get there or stay too long because I'm a carer. And then there's the small number of people I've invited in for example, by sharing week-long camping trips. These are the people who see firsthand the way that being a carer impacts my life on a day-to-day basis. I have no need to make any grand announcements of my status as a carer to this group of people. These are people I trust to reserve judgment and simply offer support for my experience. And that process of inviting in, you can see, is different from the historic perspective of coming out. Inviting in also is not a one-time event. It recognizes that we are always growing and that sharing essential parts of ourselves is an act of love and a demonstration of truth. Let's look at this from the opposite perspective too. Rather than being the person inviting others in, what if we are the people who receive the invitation? How might we develop a climate of welcome and make it possible for others to feel safe and share their truths without risk of rejection? As a congregation of Unitarian Universalists, we support the first principle regarding the inherent worth and dignity of every person. As South Australian Unitarians, we also claim to have open hearts and open minds. So I ask you now to spend a few minutes talking to your neighbours, maybe people you don't yet know too well, about what you think welcoming others with open hearts and open minds might look like. Two discussion questions. How does welcoming others look or sound? What do you show? What do you say? And secondly, how does it feel to be on the receiving end and know that you are welcome? Please chat with your neighbours.
I did print a copy of my words for you as well, because I know you can't hear me if I'm talking that way.
Yeah. I want a copy.
Thank you, folks. I've heard diverse conversations, partly about welcoming people with disabilities, partly about the simple gestures that we can do to start building a bridge and making people feel welcome. So one example was approaching someone with a cup of tea. So there we go. So the phrase that I've just been using about being a welcoming congregation is something that the Unitarian Universalist Association can certify, I think is the right word. And the Unitarian Universalist Association, UUA, has sections on its webpage which specifically encourage the different Unitarian churches around the world to become welcoming congregations, with a specific focus on LGBTQ. So that association tells us that being welcoming means striving for radical inclusion and creating spaces that honour every part of our identities, backgrounds and experiences. We're aware that some religious denominations actively condemn LGBTQ people, ignore them, or, this is interesting, claim to treat everyone the same regardless of sexual orientation and gender identity or expression. Now, that is a neutral stance. And yet part of being a welcoming congregation encourages churches to acknowledge that LGBTQ people face additional issues in society and around matters of faith and religion. So it's going beyond that neutral stance to a position of affirming and advocating Members of oppressed groups need to know that the congregation is aware of their issues and that they are welcome as their full selves. None of it closeted or hidden away for fear of rejection. As a congregation, we can make it clear that all people are welcome without them having to check. With regard to the LGBTQ community, a welcoming congregation makes 10 commitments. And I'm going to have a call for action here from me. Apparently, this church has gone partway through the process of becoming certified or official as a welcoming congregation. So as you listen to the 10 commitments, I'd like you to think about whether this particular church could move forward and finalise that process, be known as a welcoming congregation. So the 10 commitments. Firstly, a welcoming congregation is inclusive and expressive of the concerns of people who are lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, or queer at every level of congregational life. It includes Sunday club, social events, notices, and presentations such as this one. A welcoming congregation doesn't make assumptions about anyone's sexual orientation or gender identity, and acknowledges orientation and identity as but two aspects of multifaceted individuals. A welcoming congregation incorporates an understanding of the experience of LGBTQ people throughout its programs. You've just heard a bit of Aaron's experience today. A welcoming congregation includes an affirmation and non-discrimination clause in its bylaws and other official documents. So that might be something that this church could take action on. A welcoming congregation engages in outreach into LGBT communities, both through its advertising and by actively supporting other LGBTQ affirmative groups. So in the past, when Rob McPherson was in the ministry here, he wrote articles in one of the LGBTQ magazines for Adelaide. So it was an invitation and activity to support that community. A welcoming congregation offers congregational and ministerial support for services of union, memorial services, and sharing the celebrations of evolving definitions of family. For a long time during the same-sex marriage debate, we had a banner outside, "Love is Love." So this church particularly welcomes people who are engaging in same-sex marriage. A welcoming congregation nurtures ongoing dialogue between people of different orientations and identities to create deeper trust and sharing. Now, my impression is in this group of people, none of us is backward in coming forward. You all happily engage in dialogue anyway. A welcoming congregation affirms and celebrates LGBTQ issues and history during the church year. So this month is Pride Month, which is why Aaron and I and other members of the church are giving this presentation today. A welcoming congregation works to promote justice, freedom, and equality in the larger society. It speaks out when the rights and dignity of LGBTQ people are at stake. And lastly, a welcoming congregation celebrates the lives of all people and their ways of expressing their love for each other. So those of you listening today who are in Committee of Management or Visions, please consider again doing the last few steps in making the Adelaide Unitarian Church of South Australia a welcoming congregation. We close today's service with a benediction. Blessed are the wanderers seeking affirmation. Blessed are the worshippers praying from closets, pulpits, pews, and hardship. Blessed are the lovers of leaving family and familiarity, leaving tables where love is not being served. Blessed are those who stay. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the queer, disciples of truth, living, breathing, sacred reflections of divine love.
Well, we hope you enjoyed this Expanding Horizons podcast. These podcasts are the intellectual property of the presenter. They can be used only with the express permission and appropriate acknowledgement of the presenter and the podcast used in its entirety. This permission can be obtained by emailing unitarianessay@bigpond.com. Please feel free to leave a comment or visit us on Facebook or Twitter by searching Essay Unitarians.